If you have your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 6.
At the same time, go to 1 Samuel 17. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's pray together before we get into Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come on Wednesday night. Used to, a long time ago, these were called prayer meetings. And Lord, we come before you tonight, and you know every need that's in our community, every need that's in our homes, and every need in our church. You know every concern, every fear, every issue that's going on. Lord, we pray that you would make a way where there seems to be no way. But we pray that you would invade the minds and hearts, homes and places with healing, with peace, with joy, and Lord, with repentance. Lord, we just pray for a great move of God in our church, in our community. Lord, we pray that you'd give us the wisdom going forward with our new building, how to lead our people. Lord, give us wisdom and discernment on our trip to Honduras. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to us directly and give us your decision and your way. Make it clear. Lord, we thank you most of all for your son Jesus who died for our sins. Heal the sick, save the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, in Ephesians chapter 6, I want y'all to look with me probably to the most popular part of Ephesians chapter 6 is verse 11. Starting in verse 11, I'm giving y'all two chapters tonight. I know that pretty much I could sit down and any of y'all could preach it. just looking at the two chapters, but I'm kind of going in a different direction, in a different way tonight. And hopefully, by the end of the service, you can come to me and say, hey, I learned something different out of some very familiar places. If not, then don't talk to me after church. And I'm just kidding. Sorry. Man, y'all are a tough crowd tonight. We almost not have got a nap in today or nothing. All right, I'm sorry. Says, put on, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, put on, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Right? Y'all see that? How many of y'all want to be a Christian who can stand against the wiles of the devil? The schemes, the wiles of the devil, right? That next verse goes on to say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and high places, right? We wrestle. Listen, you might want to write this down. The devil does not fight you from a distance. Seems like it sometimes, but it's usually personal. And when you wrestle somebody, you get into some awkward, weird, compromising places. Amen? I'm getting into some full Nelsons. Anybody getting a full Nelson? It's when you get behind your little brothers, put them in that thing where you got their neck. Anybody? Golly, nobody got the full Nelson? I was the younger brother. I got it on a regular basis. They just pull you up and dangle you from your feet like this. Headlock. Anybody get the headlock? I got the headlock a few times, right? Man, those things stink, don't they? And you're in a weird position, and you feel helpless, and you're wrestling, right? That's how. Listen, that's the devil. Not, well, the devil's it doing this, and the devil's in that, the devil's this. Man, when the devil's on you, we're going to preach this right here, but when the devil's on you, you're going to know it's the devil. Hey, man, you'll know it's him. Because, listen, you might want to write this down too. The reason the devil would show himself and let you know it's him, because you're doing something that's bothering him, his kingdom, and you're changing lives and you're doing things that's bothering him. Otherwise, he's not just going to jump on you for nothing. If you're not bothering the devil, then the devil's going to be like, I'll just let you ride on. Okay? I'll just let you do what you're doing. But if you're messing with
His people, His stuff, the things that He's counted off as His, then guess what? He's definitely going to attack, and you're not going to have to worry about who it is. You're going to know because He wants you to know at that point.
Some of you got to check up. Sometimes it ain't the devil, it's you. Amen? I can almost just see it. Sometimes we're all like, the devil did this, the devil's over going, that's you, right? Make sure you know that. So, okay, so everybody in here to a person, I hope you know, you want to be able to who can stand and be effective, be a warrior for Christ. That's a loaded question. You want to be a warrior for Christ. All right. Well, I do too, but let's roll back over to chapter 6, verse 1. If you really want to be a warrior for Christ, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on earth.
There's not many kids in here tonight, but we're probably all still kids in a way. Amen? Right here is talking about honor the authority that's over you. You want to be a great Christian, but you can't be under anybody's authority. You're not being a great Christian. You're not going to be a great warrior. I had the great honor and opportunity to be a United States Marine Corps, right? I am a Marine, right? Well, you know what the first thing I had to do when I got there? I had to surrender every bit of my identity. I walked up to Parris Island and they took everything that was me and put it in a bag and taped it shut. And there I went. They put me away. Right? And then they gave me a new uniform, a new name, United States Marine Corps, right? And they started working on me, and guess what? They done away with every bit of that. Why? Because, you know, I had to start saying, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, no, sir, right? Why? Because I had to get under somebody's authority. You can't be a great soldier without being under authority. And listen, today we need to raise the bar for our children. Right, we need to raise the bar for our children. It's not effective to say, well, they're good enough. They're not on drugs. They're not in a gang. They're not doing. That ain't the mark. The mark is to be honor thy mother and father, honor their authority. When everybody's looking and when nobody's looking, right? Now listen, let's move on a little bit because I like that we can just nail them kids. I'd love to. There ain't enough of them in here. We just stay off of them because ain't enough of them in here. So let's get us, okay? Watch this. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up under the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. What's that? And you fathers, provoke not. How do you provoke your child to anger? Wait a minute. Oh, I'm supposed to be their buddy or I'm supposed to be real hard. What am I supposed to do? Listen, that right there, I want you to understand this. The best way to provoke a child to anger is to not be present. Amen? Not be present. If you want to be involved, if you want to raise great kids, be there. Be involved. Be a part of the life. Amen? Talk to them. Be engaged with them. Even when you don't feel like it. Right? Got to be involved. Because, man, the kids, the most angry kid, right? The most angry person in the Bible is Ishmael. That's the most angry kid. You know who the happiest kid is? Isaac. Got it? What happened to Ishmael? As soon as he was born, he was an outcast. He's gone. Right? So he was an outcast, so he's in anger. Where did anger come from? I'm looking at my father, right? That's all your Islamic nations come out of that line right there. Ain't that amazing? And then you got one who's got joy, who's got happiness, who's got obedience, and that's Isaac. And he's also a representation of Jesus Christ. But when you take him up to Mount Moriah, what is he doing? He's carrying the wood. He goes, where's the sacrifice? So God will provide a sacrifice. He's not 10, he's not 12. He's almost near 20 years old, and he's just being obedient to the Father because the Father's present. Some of it's just being present. Amen? There's a lot of stuff in there. You're going to have to find your bounds, but presence is one of the biggest things. I mean, you ain't got to get it all right, but you need to be there to be part of it.
Y'all still with me? Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart.
Man, where do you get that?
This is not, when I say servants right there, let's just scratch that out. That's not servant, that's slave. Okay, so we don't have slaves anymore. Thank goodness, that's a good thing. Let's just go ahead and put ourselves in the place where we work or the school that we go to. Amen? You're supposed to be a servant at that place, a worker at that place, working under Christ, under His authority. So you're not supposed to steal from the company, lie to the company, be a bad employee, have a bad attitude. Some of y'all want to come to altar and have about what we're doing at work right now? Because when we go to work, we think, no, you know, you don't know what they're doing down there. Yeah, I don't know what they're doing down there, but I do know God is still working in your life. Amen? And those same people that are working down there are watching you. Amen? All right, so guess what? Some of y'all, listen, I don't know how many people raised your hand. I should have paid more attention. I don't know how many eyes got a little bit brighter when I said, do you want to be a powerful warrior for Christ? Some of you are like, yeah. Well, you got to get it under some authority. Ultimately, God's authority. But then you also got to start performing your responsibilities. Y'all good? All right, let's go to 1 Samuel 17. I promise I won't take that long. I shouldn't do that because that makes preachers liar in the church. I won't be long relative to other preachers. How about that? We'll go real quickly. 1 Samuel 17. I know this is... Every time somebody says go to 1 Samuel 17, all the preachers in here go, man, anybody can do that. Well, all right, I get it. But hey, that's where God showed me to use this at. So let's run through it. Y'all ready? 1 Samuel 17, 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and they were gathered together at Soko, which belongeth unto Judah, and pitched between Soko and Azekah in Ephesus. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mount on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. I learned something new about this I'd never learned before. It's pretty neat. There's a big high mountain on this side, big high mountain on this side, and there's a big old open valley in the middle. And guess what? They assumed this thing to be 100 yards long, wide. That's pretty cool. So you get the reverence all the time. David versus Goliath on a football field, right? On a playing field. So it's about 100 yards wide. Ain't that amazing? God's pretty cool, ain't he? He knew in 2020 most people could have a relative idea about what a field would be, and it'd be what a superior team would look like and what an inferior team would look like, and he wanted you to understand. Ain't that cool? So I thought God was neat on that. But let's look a little closer. I want to try to go a little bit further. I've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, and his name was Goliath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and had a weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear was weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are you come out to set the battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. I want y'all to know this. This happened on a regular basis. They believed in those times that God would choose two great people, the gods, not the God, but the gods, and they would do battle instead of the whole armies do it. They would come down and do it, right? And I noticed something about this. The devil always works this way. He always gives you statistics and information. You might want to think about that. He always gives you too much information about who he is. If he comes in the form of cancer, if he comes in the form of addiction, if he comes in the form of divorce, if he comes in the... you've never done this, you never beat this, you never... Your mother, your grandmother, your father had this. It comes from this lineage, it comes from that lineage. Nobody ever talks about what lineage that the blood of Christ, amen? What's in it? Nothing. Holiness, peace, healing. That's what comes from God. But you always want to take what your parents was, right? You always want, well, your mama did that. I found something in my lineage.
Just recently, I found it. I was searching. I was listening. I was hearing stories. Somebody's telling me about my dad. Somebody's telling me about my mom. And I was listening. I'm like, man, that's why that. And that's kind of why that. And that's why that. And then I found the place where all that got broken. Somebody found Calvary. Sorry. Somebody came to Calvary. And when somebody came to Calvary, guess what? All that was broken. That stuff that was running wild in generation and generation and generation of my family stopped when somebody said, let's go to Calvary. Well, if you don't know what Calvary, let's go to the cross. And they went to the cross, and where there was all this adultery and fornication and all this family wreckage, there become a preaching. There become a preaching spirit. A missionary spirit. Then there became on this side of it a marriage spirit. Whoa, never. All of a sudden, people started staying together. People all of a sudden started staying in situations that this generation over here had no idea about. Whoa, never. And when I seen it, I said, you know what? That's what breaks. You take everything to Calvary. You bring it all the way back to Calvary. If you got some stuff running loose in your family, take it to Calvary. And you think, man, you know what? I'll stay right there while I'm at. Some of y'all are sitting here going, well, who was that? Who was that took it to Calvary? It was my stepmom. My stepmom. Not my dad. Not my real mom. My stepmom. Started going to church on a Wednesday night. And all of a sudden started praying for our family. And all of a sudden pulled over on the side of the road one night and gave her life to Christ. Amen? And all of a sudden that changed the arc of my family. My dad used to drink. See, he was known as a missionary, evangelist, whole nine yards. But guess what? What it started with is one time he said, I want you to go in there and get my beer. And she said, I'm sorry, I'll never do that again. And he said, all right. And that changed one thing and the next thing and the next thing. So if you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, oh, I could never change this stuff. Yeah, just one person. Just one person saying, you know what? I'm going to start praying about it. And when I start praying about it, I'm going to start taking action. Right? Whew. I don't know how we got there. Sorry, but let's move on a little bit. The weavers always giving you information. He stood and cried to the armies of Israel, and he said unto them, jump down to verse 9, if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 11, when Saul and all of Israel heard these words and the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Amen. That's us. That's who we are. Amen. We want to find ourselves in this. We always want to be David. We want to be the one who's, no, this is who we are. We are the ones who listen to the enemy and we're afraid and we're paralyzed by fear because we don't know what to do. That's it. That enemy rolls out there and says, I can whoop every one of you and my army can whoop everybody and just let's just do it. And they're like, no, we can't. And our leader, right, our first Adam could not do anything for us, right? And that's but guess what? The good news is God, man, write this down. God has already chosen a champion. Amen? Back then he chose David already. Before he done that, he chose Jesus. Amen. But he had chose Jesus even back before, right? He's going to lift up his heel. He's going to crush you, right? That's it. So that's Jesus right there in Genesis. But he's always been. Amen. Jesus has always been. So he always had a champion. Y'all need to write this down and get excited on a Wednesday. There ain't nobody here but us. Think about this. When you think, man, I don't know if God's thinking so far ahead of the enemy, it's amazing. He's already defeated. He's already, man, he's like, don't worry, I got this. Saul's sitting there wringing his head, I don't know if we got anybody. I'm the biggest guy we have. And that's the truth. He was head and shoulders above all the Israelites. He was a Benjamite. He was of God's right hand, and he was scared. Have you ever gotten scared? Well, if you've gotten scared, you've got Jesus. Amen. I love that. I love when I think about this, because God's already got, man, he's already got, he's anointed him and covered him. And he's sending him.
Let's go a little further. Watch. I'm rushing, all right? I'm hurrying for you. Amen? Because I could stay all night, but I know y'all don't want to, and I don't either. A little bit.
And these three. Now, David. Yes, verse 12. And now David was the son of the Ephrathite, Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul.
Jesse had 8 sons. So he was an old man at this time. So he sent his sons. He couldn't go, so he sent somebody in his stead. Some of you men need to write this down. We need to be sending some boys in our stead. It's not good enough that you're a godly man if you ain't raising godly men. It ain't good enough if you're a godly man and we ain't raising good godly young girls. Amen, we all right? And some of y'all are mad right now are going, what are you going to say about them women? I'm not. You're the spiritual leader of your household. If your wife's doing it, thank God she done it. But it's your job.
And he sent him down there. And you know what? Listen, I was thinking about this when I was getting ready for this message. I was sitting there thinking, some of us when you start getting past 60, 70, 80 years old, you start thinking, man, what's my job at the church? My job at the church is to maintain and to make sure and to manage and to watch over and kind of make sure this next generation don't mess it up. Not true. Not true at all. Your job is to be an on fire, Holy Spirit filled believer that sets the pace for the next generation. Your job is to make them thirsty. Amen. They should be looking at you and going, God, I got to step up my game. You're supposed to pass down a Holy Spirit. You're supposed to pass down something that's so spiritual. Yeah, you can manage. Yeah, you can be make sure. Yeah, you can be a good steward. But praise God, the number one thing, God, if I'm still breathing, let me do something for you. I don't want to just sit on the bench. I want to be a part. Let me use my gifts and my talents for you. And I don't care what your gift or talent is. Your gift and talent might be something that I can't even relate to. Mine's speaking. I know that. But you know what? There's gifts and talents. Somebody, I'm just here for... No, you're not. You're here to do that. To do whatever God's called you to do. Until He wouldn't have you here if you weren't supposed to be doing it. Think about that. A lot of times we get into this mode that we're just trying to keep the church all right. Don't worry about the church so much. Worry about your relationship with Christ. The church will take care of itself then.
That's dangerous, Kevin. That's dangerous.
All right, watch this. And David was the youngest. Is that where we're at? Verse 14? Close enough. And David was the youngest. And the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Verse 15. I've never seen this before either. He was going back and forth. Listen, when he went out, the reason he went up to the kingdom, to the palace in the first place was to play the harp, remember? Right? He went up there and now he's going back. What is he going back for? Because Saul is at the battlefield and he goes back. Think about it. Once you've been in the palace, it's going to be hard. Dad, I'm back. It's almost like being home from college or another job. You know, you walk, you're expecting like triumphant entry, you know? Have you ever been young? Y'all remember what it was like when you thought you was going to go back and get like a... I remember I'd come back from the Marine Corps sometimes and I'd try to surprise them. I'd walk in like, hey! They're like, hey, washing them stinky clothes. And you're like, what are you doing? Where's the dinner? You know, right? This is exactly, we get home, there's three boys are off at the battlefield, and Dad's like, hey, I'm glad you're home. Yeah, what do you want me to do, Dad? Take the sheep and go out into the wilderness. They need to be taken care of. Guess what he did? Took the sheep out. There's no discourse. There's no argument. There's no, guess what? He's just doing what? His responsibility. His responsibility was do what Dad says. Do what the leadership says, right? His responsibility is to follow his father. Amen? That's our responsibility. Doesn't matter where, because guess what? God uses everything. Write that down. God uses everything. He don't mind to demote you. And listen to this, it demotes time, it ain't a demotion. Golly. Most time it ain't a demotion. It's just something else you got to learn on another level. Amen? You can be good, I'm preaching right here. You can be good at a high level at something, but then be remedial at something else. Amen? You can do church real well, go into the real world. The real world's like, what are you talking about? Who's lost? Pray about what? You understand what I'm saying? So sometimes you've got to take a step back. So guess what? He was up there playing the harp, doing the thing. And God says, I'm going to have something for you that's about to come up, but I can't teach that to you in the palace. God, I wish you'd get it. I can't teach that to you up there playing the harp. You ain't got any calluses on your hands anymore. I need you to come home and get back out in there, and I need you to stink a little. Man, we got this poster. We think sheep. Oh, man, that would be a beautiful little white sheep. And the shepherd's standing there, and he's got his little, you know, crook. And he's just, man, you could probably smell them jokers from 100 miles away. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, oh. And them sheep weren't white. They was brown, right? And you're out there with them. You're amongst them. You know, he had to teach him. So he had to take him out there in the wilderness to teach them the lion and the bear. Experiment, right? He had to get the lion and the bear experiment because he couldn't give him that experience in the palace playing the harp for King Saul. He had to bring him back. And sometimes when you come back, you think, oh, God's mad at me. No, he's not mad at you. He's just showing you something that you need. What do you got to do? You got to be responsible enough to say, God, I can take the lesson on that level too. Get it? Y'all get it? Watch this right here. It gets good. And the Philistines drew, is that right? And David went and returned to Saul to feed his sheep. Verse 16. And the Philistines drew near in the morning and the evening. Whew, and presented himself 40 days. 40 days. Write this down next to that 40 days part there. 40 is a time of testing. It's always a time of testing. You always go and look. 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness. Remember when they got him and they brought him Moses, right? Moses. He has 40 years in the wilderness. He kills the Egyptian. He flees. He spends 40 years in the wilderness, right? After that, guess what? 40 years he leads the children of Israel. Jesus led up into the wilderness and tempted 40 days, right? After the resurrection, he's with the people for 40 days. Got it? Whew. Time of testing. Time of testing. Remember that. Every time you see 40, it's time of testing. And it's right here. Here comes the giant. Every day for 40 days. He is testing them. Right? He's showing up. The devil, the enemy, will test you. Test your faith in God. Test the belief you have. And test what you're going to do. Amen? So notice sometimes if it's day 2 or day 3, you only got, what, about 38 days left. Amen? Sorry. Verse 17, and Jesse said unto David, thy son. Look at verse 17, y'all good? And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their host, the captain of their thousands, and look now thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Right? So he goes down. Right? He goes down to the battle and he's delivering cheese and bread, right? It's pizza, sorry. Every time I do that, I have to. I'm sorry. Y'all might get mad. It's just pizza, right? Anyway, sorry. I can't help myself when I say that. But could you imagine? Now he's pulling from the sheep and he says, listen, I need you to go. Who does? Jesse. Why? Jesse has sons that are in the battle. But he also knows what? He also knows that his son has been anointed king of Israel, right? And he said, listen, they're having a hard time. It sounds like they're stuck. So the father, like God, sends the son, the anointed one, like Jesus, to go to the battle for the sons who can't fight because he doesn't want to lose the sons that he's got invested at the battlefield. So he takes the son and he says, go to the battle. Right? Because he wants to know, I love my sons, but they need the anointed one there, not an unanointed one there. I might lose all my children. Okay? So he sends his anointed son. His anointed son goes down in his what? In his responsibility. God, y'all need to get this, man. He didn't go down there. He is a pizza delivery dude. Getting it? He didn't. God didn't speak to him. Nobody said, you're going down there and this is going to be the most pivotal moment of your life. This is going to be the biggest spiritual reward. People are going to be talking about this for the rest of time. None of that was said. He just said, look, I'm preaching better than you know right here. He just said, what I want you to do is I want you to go down there and be obedient and do the responsibility of a good son. If you want to be a great warrior for Christ, you've got to do the responsibility of being a great son, a great daughter. Do the responsibility that God's given you. That's what he was obedient to, the authority in his life. And he goes down. And in the midst of being responsible for the cheese and the bread, and he's handing it out, and he makes sure everybody gets what they're getting, and he's standing there, and all of a sudden the giant starts speaking. And when the giant starts speaking, it kicks on. That's when the reward, that's when the spiritual reward was given, when his response, when his natural responsibility, his reward was wrapped in that. Some of y'all are sitting there going, I want God to use me in a big way. Be responsible. Be responsible enough to follow God in the ordinary, everyday things, and you will walk up right on your awesome spiritual reward. You'll be in it before you know it. Amen? You'll be in it before you know it. He goes, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I mean, he was offended, right? He goes, his brother looks, I know the naughtiness of your heart. I know why you came down here. No, you don't. I came down here in my obedience. People are going to say you came down there for all kinds of reasons. People are going to say you got into ministry for all kinds of reasons. Somebody say you're going to do this for all kinds of reasons. I got into it because God sent me into it. I just came down here to be obedient. Next thing I know, I see what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen? And all he said is, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Does he not know there is a God in heaven? And the next thing you know, he's standing before Saul, right? And the next thing you know, he's standing before the giant. Amen? Can I give you one more nugget before we go? Watch this right here. Y'all want to see something really cool? Never seen this before either. Guess what? What did David go meet him in? David went and met him in his average, ordinary stuff. Remember? Saul said, here, try on my armor. Saul was head and shoulders above everybody in Israel. So guess what? He couldn't fit in it. Oh, David put it on. He's like, not trusted, not tested. This has never been tested before. Never been tried. I don't know anything about that, but I do know the weapons of a shepherd. Walks over, picks up 5 smooth stones, right? Some people say J-E-S-U-S, some say grace, some say mercy. Them are all 5-letter words, they can all be 5 rocks. I like to say it this way, he picked up a rock for every giant, they just only one of them had showed up that day. You can go keep on studying on, there's 4 more of them jokers, amen? And you know what? David didn't kill the other 4. You know what he did? He trained some other men to do it. It's good to be a giant killer, but it's even better to train some. Amen? And here's what I wanted to show you. He goes to the brook where the water had run and cut the valley. That's a whole other message. See, the water had cut that valley for years and years and years. And guess what? What was left over was the rock. At the lowest place in the valley, he found his biggest help. The lily of the valley, Jesus. You usually don't find Jesus at the top of the mountain. A lot of times you find him in the valley. Amen? When you hit your lowest of lows in the place and it seems like everything, and even the waters run out, but guess what? You can look in the brook and you can find the thing that you're going to need. Come on, help me preach. He started looking. And he looks down and he goes, yeah, that's a Jesus rock. Yeah, and that's another Jesus rock. And can you see anybody right now? Can you see like everybody on that side and everybody on that side looking and going, what is he doing? He's picking out rocks. Picks up the rock, that fifth rock slides into his pocket, and he's sitting there, and he takes another rock out, and he's making his way, and he's walking towards the giant, and the giant starts talking, right, threatening. Who are you coming at me? I'm going to cut your head off and feed. And it's kind of neat because I'm going to pass some of you guys up. But while that giant's talking, and he's still talking, right? The giant's still talking. But the scary thing is that giant, he's probably fought his whole life. He says he's been a warrior his whole life, and David's been a shepherd. No, he ain't been a warrior his whole life. But one thing is kind of intimidating. I don't care who you are. That giant sounds like usually people stop. When they see I'm 9 foot tall, 9 foot six, when I see that and they see my weaver's beam and they see my shield, they usually kind of step, and I have to run to them. But this guy, he has not broke stride. He's still, I hear what you're saying. But I'm not coming to you in natural man. I'm not coming in myself. I'm coming in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm, and I'm going to. But I want y'all to see this. I want y'all to see this. David drew nigh unto the giant, and he didn't have anything on but what God had given him as a shepherd. Did you notice something? The enemy stayed fully covered. Whew. He was so armored up. He didn't take his shield down. He didn't take his weaver's beam. He didn't take off of all of his mail. He didn't take off any of his armor. He kept his big old sword. You know what he was saying? He was saying with his mouth, I'm greater than you. But he was saying by his actions, I'm scared of you. I can't fight you, person. I'm going to have to intimidate you. But I'm cancer. I'm addiction. I'm this. I'm that. But you know what he was saying? I don't care who you are. I can take you down. Behind all that is nothing. Behind all me is the mighty hand of God. And it's so easy to walk and face a giant when whether you live or whether you die, you're a winner either way. Ain't that something? Now you could be a bad guy or a bad girl, in a good way bad, for Jesus. If you ever get to understanding, the worst thing that's ever going to happen to you is you're going to live a long, long life here on earth. You didn't hear what I just said. The worst thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to live a long, long life. Some of you, I'm 47 and I get up, my back hurts. Say, thank you. Thank you. Some of y'all need to say, be quiet and quit whining. I wish my back was the only thing that was hurting. Right? Amen. Praise God. Listen. So, you just get older. But guess one day, they're going, listen, one day, there's going to be an old bitch. He passed. No. She's never been more alive. Whew. That's what you're fighting with. That's what you're fighting from. Let's all stand.